Well, let's talk about something that all of us have in common. You and I share it, and it's this. All of us have problems. How many of you know somebody with problems? How many of you are that somebody with problems sometimes? Sure. We all have problems. So I'm going to talk to you today about problems. We're in a series in the book of 2 Timothy entitled Running Your Incredible Race. Remember, the Apostle Paul is now nearing the end of his incredible race, and he writes this letter to a young man who was his associate in ministry, a young man who was pastoring in Ephesus, and he writes this last letter reflecting on his own incredible race. And from the reflections on his incredible race, reflecting on Timothy's race that was yet to be run, to encourage him to run an incredible race. And as we are learning from the Lord in his word in this book, we are learning about the incredible race that God has for you and for me, and how we can run our incredible race. Well, I'll invite you to open your Bible then to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll give you a moment to find it. And then we will stand and read the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's all stand together, shall we, as we read the scripture. Follow along as I read aloud. Excuse me. Chapter 2 begins with these words in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, do you remember what grace is? When you read about grace in the Bible, think of this. Think of grace is God giving me opportunities I don't deserve and power I don't have. And God the Spirit tells us through Paul's pen as he's writing to Timothy, and he tells us, you know, you aren't strong enough to run an incredible race in your own power. In fact, you need to know the power of God, the grace that is given. He's commanded to run and be strong, but I want you to know that you don't have enough strength, and so God gives grace so that his strength is always enough. And we learned when we were together the last time in this passage of Scripture that God gives grace. He gives his sufficient power to help you to become the person that he wants you to be. But there's something else that God tells us about in this passage of Scripture that we'll address today, where you need God's grace. That is God's power, because your power is not enough to handle it on your own to run an incredible race. And that is this: you need God's grace to deal with problems. So today I'm going to preach to you again on be strong. Lord, give me grace in the race. And today we're going to learn what God tells us about two problems for which we need grace in our incredible race. So let's pray and ask God to deal with us so that we can know his strengthening grace. Dear God, we're asking for you to speak to us. This is, the words that are written are historic and historical and accurate. But these words are life-giving. And so we pray, Lord, that it would be, as we open your word, that you would take these words that are on a page and you would make them life-giving to us. And individuals that today you are in a wonderful way, all of us in some way speaking to us. Others, this is a very significant day because you are speaking to them. And I pray, oh God, that you in your grace would give grace to receive. So we yield to the Holy Spirit to this end as a congregation, me as a preacher. And so we pray for your will to be done. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we learned about God's grace to become the person that God wants us to be. But then God tells us about his power to help you and I to deal with problems in our lives. And here's the first, really, it's a prayer, it's a declaration, it's an affirmation of faith. Lord, give me grace to suffer troubling times. Give me grace to suffer troubling times. You'll notice what the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, now verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. So what do you do when you are suffering trouble? What do you do? Well, when you're suffering trouble and you're going through troubles, identify the trouble. Let's identify what was Paul's trouble that we just read about. Well, you'll notice verse 9 particularly. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble. Well, why were you suffering trouble, Paul? Why the trouble in your life? As an evildoer, even unto bonds. The apostle Paul was imprisoned. He's in bonds, and he's there unjustly. He is arrested for being a troublemaker, for being a guy who's causing problems when really he was standing for the truth of the gospel. But here he is, and he says, I am suffering trouble. I'm in a time of trouble. Now, let me ask you this. What is your trouble? What is it that's happening in your life that is the trouble that you're thinking of? What is the issue that is troublesome to you and troubling to you? So what's happening in your life that is your trouble? So what do you do when you're suffering trouble? Well, identify the trouble, but then evaluate the reason for the trouble. And we're told about Paul's reason for the trouble again in verse 9 is he was suffering as an evildoer, but really, it wasn't about that, because you'll notice verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble. And from that, we look at verse 8, what is it that is the reason that was the cause of all this trouble? Well, it's because he was suffering, verse 8, according to the gospel. He was proclaiming life, that Jesus is who he is, God, the eternal God in human flesh, the Savior of the world, the only one with power to save, the exclusive way for all men and women, boys and girls in the world to be saved. And some didn't like it, and so let's put him in jail. Now let's think about when you are in your times of trouble. What is the reason for your trouble? Because in your incredible race, you are going to have times of trouble. And when you are in trouble, this is a time to take a look and say, okay, let's do an honest evaluation of why I'm in the trouble I'm in. In fact, let's think of some possibilities. We'll think them through together. It could be that your trouble could be the consequences of standing true to the truth. Isn't that what was happening with Paul? He was standing true to the truth, and because of this, there were consequences brought into his life. And sometimes when you stand for the right, there will be consequences and trouble that comes because you're willing to stand for what is right. Your trouble could be the consequences of my own sin. Paul told the church in Galatia, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes the reason I'm having trouble is because of the sinful choice that I made, and I am living with the consequences of my own sinful choice. How many of you have ever found that to be true? Yeah. Sometimes your trouble could be the consequences of someone else's problem. How many of you have had to suffer consequences in your life because of other people's choices? Man, yeah, you better believe it. And other people choose sin, and other people choose to turn their own way, and other people make wrong choices, and you, because they're part of your life, you have to suffer the consequences of their choices. Sometimes, and it may be that your trouble could be the natural consequences of living in a sin-cursed world. When you live in a sin-cursed world with sin-cursed people, sometimes things just happen. It's no one's fault. It's not your fault. It may not be their fault. It's just part of living in a sin-cursed world. Job put it this way. Job said, man is born for adversity as sure as the sparks fly upward. He said, you know, it's like and you've maybe poked that fire. You've had the fire burning. You watch the sparks fly up. It's just always, it's what happens because a fire is burning. There are sparks that fly up in the air. And he said, life is that way because we live in a sin-cursed world and there's going to be times of trouble, adversity. It happens. Your trouble could be the choice or allowance of a sovereign, wise, good, loving God. Can I say that again? Your trouble could be the choice or the allowance of a sovereign, wise, good, loving God. And that's really the story of Job, isn't it? Job, what an outstanding man. Loved God, honored God. What an outstanding individual was Job. But God made a choice and allowed Job to go into tremendous suffering and loss, a tremendous spiritual battle. Why did God do that? Well, because God is God, and God knew that was the choice he had for Job. And do you know, sometimes God just allows things or chooses things that are in your life that are times of trouble. Does it mean God doesn't love me? No. Does it mean that God is not wise? No. Does that mean that God has just lost control of everything? No, not at all. It just means that God, in his wisdom and his sovereignty at times, chooses trouble for your life as part of what he is doing in your life. So whatever the reason, whenever you have trouble, this is the time to stop and evaluate. You can evaluate where you are in your spiritual life. What is God doing? Are there things that God is trying to teach me? And if you say, Lord, thank you for that, you can rejoice because God is doing good things. It may be that you can realize, wait a minute, God is using this trouble to get a hold of my mind and help me to understand and bring the light of where I really am. And he brings that trouble to get my attention. And when that happens, then I repent and say, oh God, I've got to change my direction. I'm going my way and not your way. Sometimes he uses it, we should repent. But whether we rejoice, we repent, it may be that for all of us, we must resolve that whatever the trouble, whatever the reason, in my response, I'm going to submit myself to God's authority in my life, and I am going to align my life with God's truth and his will. So you think about the trouble and that's been on your mind. Since we're talking about trouble, as I'm preaching, you have trouble on your mind. Whatever the reason, how are you going to respond? Are you going to rejoice that God is doing good things even in this? Maybe you need to just, this trouble is coming so you will repent. But whatever it is, resolve. God, I'm willing to submit to you and align my life with you. God's brought all this trouble into your life for your good and his glory. So what do you do when you have trouble? Well, identify the trouble, evaluate the reason for the trouble, and then here's the next thing, and that is adjust your perspective of the trouble. Adjust your perspective of the trouble. Now, the Apostle Paul was in jail. He was in jail for the proclamation of the gospel. And Paul reminds Timothy about his own incredible race, that even though he was imprisoned, even though he's facing death, that this was all part of the big things that God was doing. And you know, every time trouble comes into your life, your perspective has to be changed, because when we have trouble, what do we think of? We think about our trouble and we focus on our trouble and we think about right now what's happening and just making it through the day. With all of this focus, sometimes what God wants us to do is step back and say, wait a minute, there's a big picture. I'm doing something far bigger than you can imagine in that troublesome time you're in right now. So the Apostle Paul takes Timothy from the perspective of him in jail, and he steps back and he says, now let me show you what God is doing in history. And I'm just a little part of what God is doing in history. And so he opens this section of scripture with these words in verse 8. Remember. He's all right, let's think about this a little bit. Let me adjust your thinking. And he goes back to this big picture to remind Timothy that God is doing big things that have brought you to this point. And he takes this immediate event and he says, okay, what's happening now is one thing, but I want you to see what God is doing. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And it tells us about the big things God is doing. And you know, you'll find in your life, to have God's perspective and adjust your perspective, you're going to have to think about what is happening now in light of the big picture of what God is doing in the world. The big things that God does are centered on the person of Christ. And Jesus is identified here by his name and his title. He is called Jesus Christ as God reveals him here. Jesus is his personal name. It means Savior. It tells us about Jesus' mission. Remember when the angel came to Matthew, or to Matthew, it's in Matthew's gospel, came to Joseph. And the angel said to Joseph, now listen, you're going to have a son, but he's not yours. He's going to be born supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit. And your wife, Mary, is going to bring forth a son. And he says to Joseph, he says, now, here's what I want you to name him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It means save. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. This is God's mission. And he reveals in this passage, he reveals what God is doing by the name of Jesus. His mission is to save people from their sin. And then another description is used. Jesus Christ. Christ is a term that means Messiah. He is the long-awaited one that God had promised, who would be the God-man who would one day come to take away the sin of the world and rule and reign. And God says in this passage of Scripture that all that God is doing, all is centered on the person of Christ. And all that God is doing is according to the plan of God. He is Jesus Christ of the seed of David. You see, if you look at Jesus' family tree, you'll find that one of Jesus' relatives is David. Now, why would that be important? It's important because in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a covenant with David, the Davidic covenant. And he said, now, David, I want you to know that there will come one who will be one of your descendants. And one day he will come and he will rule and will reign as your descendant, and he will be an eternal king that has an eternal reign. And so while Paul is in prison, he's in trouble, he raises the perspective and he says, you know what? The very gospel of which Jesus is a center, he went back hundreds of years to this is something that God was doing all the way back then. And he goes forward to a time that then he didn't know when it would be. And it still is a time we are waiting on when Jesus will one day rule. He says, all that's happening right now, do you realize that just as God planned it in the past and God will plan it out in the future, that your trouble, the trouble I'm in jail, all of this is not just suffering for suffering's sake. All of this is part of a bigger picture. I'm just an individual, a messenger of this good news of Jesus Christ. But I'm just a small part of something God has been planning that is far bigger than me. And something he will complete that lives way beyond my lifetime. Do you realize that what God is doing in your life when you're suffering trouble is bigger than you? So So when God is doing something big, and He always does big things, He does so according to the plan of God and centered on the person of Christ. And then you might think, if you're Timothy, you might think, well, wait a minute. What am I going to do if Paul is indeed going to pass from the scene? Paul is the most influential leader for the gospel in all of his generation. He and Timothy are so close, and he's like a father to Timothy. And Timothy might be thinking, wait a minute, Lord, with all that's going through in Paul's life, and now he can't preach the gospel like he used to, and he probably is going to pass on, and what's going to happen when he's gone, and is there any hope for me? And Paul affirms this, you know, Timothy, here I am in bonds, I'm enchained, but the word of God, verse 9, the word of God is not bound. What a wonderful reminder when you reach the point of life in the troubling times that you're in. What a wonderful reminder that God is not through doing big things. You see, if you don't believe that God is doing big things and is not through doing big things, you know what will happen when you get into trouble? What you'll find is it will take away all of your hope. It'll lead you to despair. In the times in life when you do not see a path through the road ahead, at times in life when you feel like there is no way that anything good could come out of this, in the time of trouble when you reach the point where you're so low, you just don't feel like you can take another step, can I believe God for anything? I want you to know that God is a God that is doing all of this, and He is doing it in His plan, and there are big things that He's doing. And I want to tell you, when you make it through and you're willing to follow the Lord and walk with God and submit to God and let Him work in your life through that troubling time in your life, I want you to know that when He takes you through, and He will take you through. You'll be able to look back and you'll say, glory to God. I was hopeless. I didn't see any way that out of this trouble. But God brought me through. Wow. See, people that run an incredible race aren't people that don't have troubling times. No, no, no. Everyone has troubling times. People that run an incredible race are people that are willing to believe God that He is doing bigger things. And as I'm going through my troubling time, this is part of the race God has for me, and I'm going to trust my Lord to take me through those troubling times. You see, God's doing big things. Do you know, for you, it may be that God is bringing you into troubling times because for you, you're on a spiritual journey that God is drawing you to Himself. And the troubling things that are happening in your mind, maybe even in your circumstances of your life, all of these are things that God is doing because He wants to, through all of this, do a work in your life and bring you to Himself so that you can once and for all be saved by His grace. And we who are saved, you know, God is bringing troubling times. And He's doing so because He has bigger things He's doing. And so in the middle of the troubling times, remember, God is not through doing big things. Well, in your incredible race, Lord, give me grace to suffer troubling times. That's the first problem God tells us about in this passage. Well, there's another problem God tells us about in this passage as well. The next problem is this, and it brings us to prayer and really an affirmation, a declaration of faith. Lord, give me grace to endure stressful times. Give me grace to endure stressful times. How many of you ever have stress in your life? Yeah. I want you to notice what God tells us here in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things. The word in our Bible translated endure is a word that means to remain under a weight. Have you ever felt like you have a 1,000-pound weight on your shoulders and you're carrying a burden that feels like 1,000 pounds? God says, you know, it's like this. To endure, you know, there's weights and there's pressure and it brings stress on your life. And God reminds you that if you're going to run an incredible race, you have to remain under the pressure, because in times of life, when the stressful time comes, most of us want to run away from that which is bringing the stress and the pressure, but not people that run an incredible race. No, people that run an incredible race are willing to stay under the pressure in what is happening, because those stressful times are what God is using to give you all that you need to run that incredible race he has for you. So when you are at a time when there's big time stress and you're under the pressure, in this passage of Scripture, God really helps us by answering three key questions when I'm under stressful times. Here's the first. The first key question is, what do you do when you are in stressful times? Do you attack people? Retaliate against everybody else because of the pressures on you? Do you withdraw? Do you eat ice cream? Yes, I'll take a half gallon and sit down here. Let's ice cream my troubles away. Do you, some people run to a bottle. A substance. How do you cope? What do you do when you are in stressful times? The Apostle Paul tells us what he does. He's under a stressful time, and he says this, therefore, I endure all things. So here's my question: do you remain or do you run? See, when you run an incredible race and the pressures come, that's when you have to stay. Now, if you run away from them, my friend, you will not have all that God wants you to have in your incredible race. In fact, maybe you ought to think about your life and think about the pattern of your life. Is your pattern to run when the pressures come? Do you run away? Or do you endure? What do you do when the pressures come in your life? See, you can remain and endure, or you can run. And if you will remain under the pressure and let God use that pressure and the stress of it to transform your life and to build you and strengthen you, then what you will find is that His power will help you endure and you can run an incredible race. But if you run away, oh, you'll miss the incredible race God has for you. There's a second key question. Here it is. Why does God allow stressful times? Did you ever wonder about that? Lord, why are you letting this stressful time in my life? Well, in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul gives us two reasons why he is in this stressful time and why God allowed it. The first reason we read about in verse 10 is to testify to the lost. Look at your Bible, verse 10 again. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Who are the elect? Well, I'll tell you who the elect are. The elect are all who respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from their sin, from their self, turn from their own efforts, whatever they're trusting in, and they turn only to Him who loved them and died and rose again for them. So why was Paul worried about them when he was enduring in his race? He was concerned because he understood that his life was a testimony to those who did not yet know Christ. If he were to run and denounce the Lord, they would not know the truth of the gospel. His testimony to them would be spoiled. It would be destroyed. It could have been so easy for Paul to denounce Christ, be set free. But he endured. Do you know that God brings stressful times in your life because through that stressful time, in some way, you can share the hope and the truth of the gospel with other people? And oh, how many of you have met people you would never have met if you hadn't been through some of the trouble through which you've been? Shared with people you would have never shared with? How many of your life has touched other people in ways that all, if your life was nothing but happy, happy, victory, victory, I'm on top of cloud nine, you'd be unapproachable. But in your suffering and in your stress, they watch how you respond, and they sometimes watch you go through it just like the rest of us, and this becomes an opportunity to testify of the grace of God in your life. And you know that God allows these things to happen as a testimony to those who are spiritually lost and need the forgiveness of sins in Christ. There's another reason that God tells us about it. Look at your Bible again. We're told it is a faithful saying. This is interesting. A faithful saying. What is a faithful saying? Well, these are expressions that evidently were just part of life in the lives of these New Testament believers, these New Testament churches. In fact, you only find the expression faithful saying in the pastoral epistles, two of them in 1 Timothy, one of them in Titus, and one of them here in 2 Timothy. And these are expressions that the church may have adopted at times that would really affirm their faith. And they might say, God is good all the time. And their response might be, all the time, God is good, right? Something like that. They're just expressions that remind us and encapsulate truth. Sometimes it may be a song or a poem, as is the case here. And in fact, in this poem, when you read it, you'll see the poetic language of it, but it's like each of the lines of the poem affirms a truth and communicates a truth. Now, sometimes, how many of you have been in church and you heard the preacher preach, and in his sermon, he says a poem? How many of you have ever heard that? Sure. But you're very quiet today. So, you know, one that I sort of like is, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. I like this one. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. I like that one myself. How many of you know sometimes you heard the preacher sing a song or quote the song, a hymn, right? Well, if you've been here, I'll do that on occasion, right? And so the Apostle Paul quotes a hymn. And you'll notice the hymn, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, and here's the hymn. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Oh, that the stanza of that hymn is a reminder of a promise for the future. Then there's another stanza to his hymn. Keep reading. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Oh, that's a wonderful encouragement for the future. But then, wait a minute, there's a caution for the present. And this is a hymn that preaches a sermon. Look, if you would, keep reading. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Are you saying, is Paul saying that if we deny the Lord and we fail, that we will lose our salvation? No. It's really a reminder for people that are in stressful times that when you are going through stressful times and you are turning away from the Lord, you better stop and find out, am I really one of the Lord's? Jesus did say that if you deny me before men, my Father will deny you, or I will deny you before my Father, Matthew 10:33. So it's not that one loses one's salvation. It's that a person may never have it. They may profess and they may go along and be there in the body of the church and they're singing the song and they're hearing the preacher and they're going to the fellowship and they're eating dinner together and they're going to their adult Bible class. But in all of this, they're really not one of the Lord's. And when the pressures and the troubles come, they walk away because they've never been one of the Lord's. It's a caution. And then he sings another verse of the song. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is an encouragement in my faith. Have you ever struggled to believe God when you're in stressful times? Do you ever struggle with that? Have you ever had doubt in your faith? Have you ever been weak in faith? Weak. What's wonderful is that even though at times I doubt, and way too often I'm weak, and way too often I question, the wonderful thing is that in spite of all of my weaknesses in the stressful times, my hope is not in me. My hope is one who is faithful. You weak in faith? Oh, he is a faithful God. He will be faithful to you. And when the temptation comes and you want to run, oh, listen, God is faithful. When there seems to be no way out, there is a way out. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, allow you, permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How is it that I know that whatever the stress in my life, God will help me to stand true, and God will help me to be faithful to him, and God will help me and take me through it? How do I know? Because he is faithful. I'm not strong enough in faith. Yeah, you're right. I agree. Neither am I. But he is a faithful God. So in the stressful times, I remain under the pressures because God is developing in me that which he wants to do. And if I'll be willing, instead of running away, to remain under those pressures and let God work, God will take me through. He is faithful. That's what makes an incredible race incredible. It's the grace of God does things for us that we cannot do on our own. Then there is one more question that's significant to ask when you're in those stressful times. Here it is. Is it worth it to remain true in stressful times? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Boy, there has to be an easier way than this. Is it really worth it? And our brother James has a word of testimony for us about that very truth and that very question. Would you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1? Is it worth it when I'm in times of trial? Oh, you better believe it is. Look at verse 2 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's that. The testings and the pressures are building in you. When you read patience, read staying power. They're about to crush me. No. They're building strength. God's strength and His power in your life. But let patience have her perfect work. Here's why. That you may be perfect. All that God wants you to be, an entire wanting or lacking nothing. In fact, God knows that you have areas of your life that He needs to give you His grace because you don't have enough power. And God is using these pressures to develop this grace in your life. So verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. And you come to those times of trial, and God pours out His grace. And when you need wisdom, He gives you the wisdom you need when you need it. And all of this God is doing to do things in your life that are imperative for you to run an incredible race. And this is the only way that God knows you will respond is by coming through a time of great stress and trial. There's another area that James addresses. Would you notice with me verse 12? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Beside trial, there's temptation. And God reminds of this. When the stress in your life is because of temptation, He says to us this word of blessing and encouragement, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There is reward for those that endure through the temptation. Lord, give me grace for my incredible race. Troubling times. Stressful times. Yeah, absolutely. But I want you to know, for you to run an incredible race, how you respond to these troubling times and stressful times determines whether your life is going to be an incredible race. Do you want to run an incredible race? Would you let God do His perfect work in your life? Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed. And in a moment, I will pray with you. Is God bringing about stressful times and troubling times in your life because you have yet to put your trust in Jesus alone? Maybe there's confusion. Maybe there's desires that you have and questions you have. And God is using all of this to bring you to the knowledge of the truth. If you have not, by faith, trusted Jesus, today is the day. Come on. And we'll have an opportunity for you to respond to Him right now and today. You, as a person who has put your trust in Jesus Christ, troublesome times, yeah. Stressful times, yeah. Would you let God do His perfect work in your life? He's bringing all this about because God wants you to run an incredible race. He gives you all the grace you need, but you have to be willing to let God do His work in your life. So, Lord, for friends that are here, as you are speaking, I pray for each of these young people, each of these men, each of these women. We pray, O Lord, we thank you that you're a God that gives grace. You give strength and power. You make us strong. So we come independence seeking for your strength. And so we come with anticipation. And as people have a choice today in their response, oh, for that individual, for that one, would you please work in them now and bring them to such a place that they can experience your grace for their incredible race. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your heads are bowed. The instruments are playing. And this is your time to respond. You say, I need to come to Jesus and be saved once and for all, born again. This is your time. We have people waiting to help you. Say, I want to come to Christ and be saved. It may be there are areas of prayer that you want to pray about. It may be that God is speaking to you, and this is a time where you say, this is my stand. I will come to the Lord and submit to Him as He's working in my life. The burdens that you have, whatever it is, this is your moment to respond to God as He works in your life.